Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, I appreciate everybody for listening in. Hope everyone had a really great and productive past week. And I hope that as this week begins, I hope that everybody continues to have a good and productive week, to say the least. And I just hope everybody enjoys some hoops, man. I know it's been kind of depressing for me since college basketball season is over. First and foremost, shout out to UConn, the UConn Huskies, for winning the men's championship. I believe that Dan Hurley continues to show us that he is definitely one of the best coaches in the country. And he's shown that, especially with this team winning back-to-back titles and pretty much with a whole new roster, to say the least. So shout out to UConn for beating Purdue. And on the women's side, shout out to South Carolina Gamecocks, as I did shout them out in the last episode. Don Staley continues to also show us why she is one of the elite coaches in the country. The Gamecocks went 39-0, which is a really hard thing to do. And they were able to beat Iowa, and let's just call it what it is. You know, the best player in the country right now, Caitlin Clark, as far as winning that championship. So definitely shout out to South Carolina, shout out to Don Staley, and, you know, shout out to everybody who was able to win. And now the NBA playoffs are about to begin soon. So still got a lot of good hoops, even despite the fact that college season is over. But as for Florida State basketball, we got some updates. You know, this is going to be a whole entire women's episode covering the women's team. So I got some updates that I'm here to give you guys. And the first thing that I want to talk about is now former Seminole Sakai White, who is now committed to ULM, which stands for University of Louisiana Monroe. So shout out to her. Played one season with the Noles, averaged 2.5 points, nearly 3.5 rebounds, had some key moments for the team. You know, she had 10 points early in the season against South Alabama. And for the most part, played that backup center spot right behind Michaela Timpson. It was her and Avery Tribble that kind of traded places throughout the season. And Sakai is a really great player to me. Sakai is a really great all-around player. She's definitely a really good screener. I think the one thing that I wish I would have saw more of out of her this past season at Florida State was probably, you know, crashing the glass and, of course, being able to protect the rim. And when Michaela Timpson did go out of the game, I think that was what Florida State really lacked upon. So, and I think one game that I could say, for example, with that was when Florida State played Georgia Tech in Atlanta earlier this season. And Michaela Timpson, I went down, I think, late in the first half with the injury, I want to say. And then she missed, like, a good, like, first half of that third quarter. And it was Sakai White who was holding down the fourth for the team in the middle. And you could tell Georgia Tech just took full advantage of just finding inside baskets, you know, being able to beat the team off backdoor cuts, being able to drive in the lanes, you know, find openings, find gaps into the lane, just being able to finish inside. And, you know, that was something that I think whenever Michaela Timpson did go out, that I think that we didn't have that rim protection. And I'm not knocking Sakai White at all, you know, because like I said, I think that she's a really great player. I mean, when you look at her resume, even before Florida State, you know, she was a multiple-time first-team all-JUCO player. You know, she's a great all-around talent, if you ask me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes situations work and sometimes situations don't work out. So, you know, now that Sakai is starting this new journey at ULM, I think it's going to be really great for her. She's now reunited with her former head coach, Missy Bilderback, who coached her at Jones College for a few seasons. So, you know, it's definitely familiar territory for her. So, you know, I'm just happy for her overall, man. You know, I think that she had a really good season at Florida State. I definitely wish her the best, but I think there were going to be some questions, honestly, you know, whether she was going to get a lot of rotation time if she did decide to stay next year, especially now with Mariana Valenzuela, you know, coming back to the team. So, and she played a big role in her freshman year with the team, you know, being able to stress the floor, being able to crash the boards and everything. So that would have been a question for Sakai White, is if she would have been able to get a lot of rotation time with Valenzuela coming back. So like I said, you know, kudos to Sakai White. You know, I'm very happy, you know, that she made a good decision for herself, and I wish her nothing but the best moving forward. Moving on to the next topic, and we have a key visit that I discovered over the weekend. And this is a player that I really hope finds a way to commit to Florida State, because if she does, she would be a huge asset to this team. And that's Miss Ruby Whitehorn, who played two seasons at Clemson, played a total of 66 games, averaged nearly 11 points, five rebounds, a little over one steal. And she actually played really good against Florida State this past season. Played two games, averaged 17.5 points and nearly 10 rebounds. Even on March 3rd, whenever Clemson came to Tallahassee, scored 18 points and had 14 rebounds. So she is a terrific all-around player. And just me going back, watching her film, and even watching Clemson throughout this past season, she can play anywhere on the floor on offense. And I think that is a huge asset, especially for a system that Coach Brooke Wyckoff plays with. And you combine that with Taniya Lassen and Amaria Gordon and Michaela Timpson, Ruby Whitehorn will be able to fit with this team like a glove. She can move well without the basketball. She can be a spot-up shooter. She can attack the lane. You know, she can pretty much play anywhere on the floor. Whatever you need her to play, that's what she'll be able to play. And, you know, she did that throughout the course of this season, or even just these past two seasons at Clemson. I know that her shooting numbers may not stand out a lot, because even her three-point percentage, she shot like a career 26% at Clemson. But I'll say this, don't let those numbers fool you. Definitely do not let those numbers fool you, because she's actually a really great outside scorer. She's a really good mid-range scorer. She can put the ball on the floor. She can navigate through screens and just be able to elevate over multiple defenders. So she is a great all-around player. And like I say, you know, this will be a huge piece if Florida State is able to bring her in. I mean, hell, she's still in familiar territory, still staying in the ACC. So that's definitely a plus. And she'll be going to a program who's been established over the past few years. I mean, this is a team who's been to 11 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. And this is a team that is clearly one of the best teams in the ACC, if you ask me. I mean, hell, they made it all the way to the semifinals. We got through Wake Forest in the ACC, tournament. We got through Syracuse in the ACC tournament. Ended up falling short to NC State. But, hey, I mean, it was just a steady progression, as we saw throughout the season for Florida State. And if you ask me, like, I think Ruby would definitely start. And that's the thing, too, because I question where she would be placed with this team. Will she be a starter on this team? Will she be more valuable coming off the bench? Because I'm also trying to picture, because I'm just having high hopes that we could also get Jaleah Williams as well. Because if we can grab Jaleah Williams and Ruby Whitehorn, like, that would be a plus. And if you ask me, I don't know if we're the best in ACC, but we're definitely up there with whatever you want to call it, like the Notre Dames or whoever. So that's what I'm imagining. So let's speak hypothetical. So let's say we are able to bring in Jaleah Williams and Ruby Whitehorn. I wonder what that starting lineup would look like. Obviously, Omari Gordon playing the point guard, Taniya Lassen playing the two. I would probably say Jaleah Williams run the three. You can say Ruby Whitehorn running the four, because she is 5'11". Even though she is listed as a guard, she is a long guard per se. You know, she stands at 5'11". And then you have Michaela Timpson in the middle. But that's the biggest question now, because now if that were to be the case, that means that Snoop Turner is going to have to go back to the bench. And I'm not the biggest fan of that, because as great as Snoop is defensively, she doesn't provide a lot of offense. And that's my biggest question would be, you know, should we move Ruby Whitehorn to the bench just to be able to provide some offense in the second unit? Not saying that they don't have it, because, I mean, they still have players like Amaya Bonner and others who are able to come in and knock down shots. But it would be great to have somebody in that second unit who can run the offense, who can create, and who can set up others. But you can also interject, and you can also switch everything around. You know, you can also just add in different rotations per se. But, you know, Ruby Whitehorn, like I said, she would be able to fit with this team like a glove. And I think, you know, I think now with her in the portal, it seems like, you know, at least from what I've seen on Instagram, you know, it seems like she had a really good visit. You know, we saw her with Taniya Lassen. We saw her with the coaching staff. So it seems like, at least from what we saw on social media, that things went well. So that's what I'm hoping on. That's what I'm banking on. And Ruby, if you're listening to this, we would embrace you 100% in Tallahassee. And let's try to get that championship, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take over the ACC if that's possible. But no, I mean, like, no, I'm definitely all in on Ruby Whitehorn if she does decide to transfer to Tallahassee and play for the Seminoles. Last but not least, before we get out of here, for all of my women's basketball fans, the WNBA draft is taking place tonight. And this might arguably be one of the best draft classes that we've seen in a while. When you talk about a lot of the highlight names, you talk about Caitlin Clark, you talk about Angel Reese, Rekia Jackson, Camilla Cardoso, and there's just so many other great players who are in this draft who are projected to make a huge impact at the next level in the WNBA. And you know who else's name is on that list? Miss Sarah Bajetti is on that list. And I couldn't be more excited. And it's crazy because I don't know if she necessarily declared for the draft or not, but her name is on the list. Like, I didn't see any reports or anything, so I honestly had no idea if she was actually going to go into the WNBA, because I want to say I read an article where she was looking to do other things, you know, after her fifth season at Florida State. But hey, I mean, you know, if she does look to go to the next level at the W, you know, I would be 100% all in on it. And I've already said it in recent episodes that Sarah, I think her game belongs in the W. I think she's a player. She's a game changer. And I think her game would definitely be able to blossom at the next level. Was she projected to be a star? Probably not. But at the end of the day, you know, she could make a huge impact on a up-and-coming team, on a current playoff team, wherever you need her to be. I think that she'll be able to make the impact. And Florida State fans already know the type of impact that she's been able to make. I mean, hell, even this past year as a fifth-year senior, you know, you saw the veteran leadership. You saw the confidence in her game grow as a whole. And just being able to just make big plays, you know, it's just one moment that stands out. It's just, you know, against Clemson when she knocked down two huge threes on the right wing. You know, that was really huge, because I want to say even before that, you know, she was struggling. She was in foul trouble at that time. So for her to just continue to just stay poised and just stay confident in her game and just continue to just think about the next possession, like one possession at a time, you know, that just showed the growth in her game. And she even expressed that, you know, even in post-game interviews. And also as well, you can't ignore the clutch free throw that she made in that game as well. So Sarah's game is definitely going to be able to transition at the next level. And I've even said it as well. I think that she could be like a Dejanay Carrington type player, like what Dejanay Carrington is with the Connecticut Sun. I believe Sarah Bajetti could be just that, you know, being able to be a sixth player coming off the bench and just being able to provide a spark. I mean, you know, she's an elite on-ball defender. She applies tremendous ball pressure. You know, she's active with her hands. She can get into the passing lane. She can strip the ball away from the offensive player. So she can do a multitude of things on defense. And then on top of that, you know, she can make shots. You know, I mean, we've seen how lethal she can be from three-point land. We know that she is relentless when she's able to attack the basket and just take high percentage shots. You know, we've seen all of that. So everything that we've seen throughout the course of her Florida State career, I believe that she can do that at the next level in the right situation. But the question is, where will she be placed in the WNBA draft? Is she a first rounder? Is she a second rounder? I personally, you know, with how loaded this draft class is, I highly doubt that she will be a first rounder, but that doesn't mean that she can't get drafted. I just think that, you know, like I said, it has to be the right situation. It has to be somebody that really believes in her. But, you know, I'll be real. I mean, I'm not going to go off any names, but there's a lot of players, or I'll say this. I would definitely pick Sarah Bajetti over a lot of players in this draft. And it's not a knock to any other players that are in this draft, because everybody deserves to be here, and everybody has worked their ass off to be able to get to this moment, into this situation. But I just think that Sarah Bajetti just brings a different type of energy, and she brings just a different dynamic. You know, she's a fan favorite on the court and off the court. You know, she contributes to success. She helps make other players better. And, you know, what more can you ask for, especially somebody at that young age? I mean, at 23 years old, who is fresh off of college and who is able to now take the game to the next level. So, like I said, you know, I wouldn't expect her to be a star by any means, but she could make a huge impact on a WNBA team. So that's what I'm hoping on. That's what I'm banking on, man. Like I said, you know, if you ask me, definitely a second round talent that may be drafted into the draft. And look, I mean, even if she does not get drafted, I mean, who knows? You know, she could possibly get on a training camp team, you know, just be able to prove herself from there. And even if the W does not work out, you know, I think that there could be other endeavors overseas. You know, I think I'd be real. Like, I want to see Sarah Bajetti play at the next level. Like, that's what I want to see. It doesn't matter even if it is a WNBA or not. Like, I would love to see her play at the next level, because I think that her game can be able to translate to the next level. That's my conclusion of the whole situation. And I really hope that she's able to find that opportunity in the W. And if she does, she's going to make a huge impact on whatever team she is, especially if it's the right situation. But be sure to tune in tonight, man, and make sure to anticipate Sarah's name being mentioned in the draft. But that's gonna wrap up this episode. Once again, thank you guys for tuning in with me. It's always a blast doing these, man. I know that it's the off season, and you know it's pretty slow as far as content wise and as far as, you know, a lot of news that's taking place. But no matter what it is, myself or Austin, we'll definitely keep you updated, whether it's the men's team or the women's team. You know, we'll definitely keep you updated with everything. We'll definitely put out some episodes, you know, if we hear anything. So follow me on X at NickAndreATR, and make sure to check me out on Chop Chat. You know, check my recent article actually on Sarah Bajetti. So make sure to check that out. And if you follow me on X, you'll be able to see all my content regarding basketball and then, of course, Florida State as well. So, and also, please subscribe on anywhere you listen, Apple, Spotify, and make sure to leave a review and rate as well. Definitely appreciate the feedback. And once again, thank you guys for listening in. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.